Happy 4th of July.
It is the 4th of July.
That's John
Happy
Hancock
birthday,
over there.
America. Michael Kelly. No Chris. No Amy. But it is the Chris and Amy show.
We can continue with some of the Chris and Amy traditions.
Such as my favorite segment of the week.
Every Friday at 10 o'clock.
With Scott Jagow.
He's come in studio just like that.
I'm here again.
Roaming St. Louis.
He roams St. Louis.
A handful of good things out there.
He knows about three of them.
To talk about. And,
know about three what?
Three good things.
Yeah, all of them.
And he's also got, I don't know if you've listened to his program on
every
Sundays.
Week.
But on Sunday mornings at about, what is it, about 7:20, I think? About,
yeah.
Two magnificently handsome fellas join him.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, we
sometimes
like,
just
well,
one.
Yeah, well, I may have ducked on you last
you
week.
You did, as a matter of fact.
Both of you have missed it, but that's all right.
Yeah.
It's a good segment.
Be there this Sunday.
It's a fine
7:20
segment.
7:20 on Sunday, Hancock and Kelly for 10 minutes. It's great radio.
It's a fine segment.
But I'll tell you what,
I'm awake.
The whole Scott Jagow show is awesome.
It is.
Sunday in particular.
The preparation. I think we'd all agree that the preparation that goes into that particular program exceeds, we've been here 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
He does more preparation for a Sunday morning than we have done cumulatively over 16 years here on the Voice of St. Louis.
And he slides you into sports on a Sunday.
He does.
Which is a St. Louis tradition.
Yes.
So it's just like a KMOX weekend on a Sunday.
Well, we've got that one little paid for thing that happens at 9:30.
That's true. We don't need to talk about that right now.
The singing the national anthem?
It's money talks.
Well, money is important. So
money is important.
What have you been doing, brother?
Yes. All right, so I want to talk about roaming St. Louis here in a minute.
Good.
But I would like to start with something.
All right.
A little man on the street.
Wow.
I think this might have been from last year, but it's from July 4th, and it's astonishing where the guy is asking people basic questions about Independence Day.
Sweet.
What country did we declare independence from to celebrate the 4th of July?
I don't know.
Independence
Day
from which country was that?
History was not my subject. I slept through that class.
When Jesse Ventura, John Wilkes Booth, and the other founding fathers signed the Declaration of Independence, what year was that?
1870 something, but I don't remember the specific year.
What country famously broke away from England to start their own country in the late 1700s?
I have no idea, man.
What are we celebrating on the 4th of July? Exactly?
Our independence.
A little more specific.
It's the day that we overtook the South. And it's the day that, it's our independence. That's why we have the fire.
From the South.
From the South, exactly.
The Declaration of Independence was signed by who? Just name one person.
Abraham Lincoln?
What year was that Declaration of
was
Independence?
Was it 1964? 84?
1984?
84?
How many stars on this flag?
50-something.
Wow.
I'm just shaking my head right now.
What a country.
Oh, my God.
We got our independence from the South.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
Lord.
That was a tough one.
1984.
Yeah. Well.
How about when Jesse Ventura and the other founding fathers.
Jesse Ventura and John Wilkes Booth.
Yes.
And the other founding fathers. And she just doesn't even blink an eye.
Let me lay a little Governor Morris on you.
Okay.
One of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. His first name was Governor.
Is that right?
Yes.
Is that where the name Governor comes from?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, he was named Governor.
Well, I didn't know that's where the word Governor for our governor came from.
So what I have in my hand is some upper level July 4th trivia.
Bring it.
You ready?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Can you name the three presidents who died on July 4th?
John Adams. Thomas Jefferson. They both died on the same day.
I know one.
You go ahead.
Alexander Hamilton.
He was not a president, Michael.
He died on July 4th, too.
But he was not the president.
Well, there was one more president.
You're
right about the other two, and
right.
It was on the same day in 1826.
Right.
That and was the 50th birthday.
Was it Grover Cleveland?
No.
Oh.
It was only 5 years later. It was James Monroe.
Oh, Monroe.
On 1831.
Ironically, he offered the Monroe Doctrine.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. It's kind of like Lou Gehrig. Oh, go ahead.
Next question.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Name the one president born on the 4th of July.
That would be Calvin Coolidge.
Ding. Now, when you happen to pick the one president that John Hancock is like obsessed with. That's his favorite president.
He's the most underrated president in the history of the country.
Wow.
We can talk about that.
He's
on
been
Sunday.
To the Coolidge Library.
There is no library. I've been to Plymouth Notch.
Plymouth Notch.
In Vermont.
To go look at the groundhog?
His homestead there. His father actually swore him into office as the president, as the 30th president of the United States.
Was he a notary public?
He was a justice of the peace.
Ah.
And he swore, Calvin had been to be visiting when Warren Harding died on the train coming back from Alaska.
By the time this is over, you're going to know what Coolidge eats for dinner. So.
I got more questions.
Oh, go ahead.
We can get back to Coolidge in a while. Okay. Every Independence Day, how many times does the Liberty Bell ring?
13.
Very good.
I was going to say zero. I didn't know they rang the bell still because it's
got a crack.
It's got a crack in it.
Yeah, no, it still rings.
It still rings.
Yep, it's right there in Philadelphia, PA.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Go ahead, Scott.
The name of the newspaper that published the Declaration of Independence.
Ooh, I should know this. The Philadelphia Gazette?
No. The Pennsylvania Evening Post.
Oh, I was not close.
That one's tough.
Yeah.
What is the location of the nation's oldest 4th of July parade?
That would be Schenectady, New York.
No. You want to take a shot, Michael?
No, it's got to be somewhere in the south, like Virginia or something.
No.
No, where is it?
Bristol, Rhode Island.
Oh, yes.
Close.
Yeah. You know, there's not a whole lot going on in Rhode Island.
No. I mean, small place.
Drive across that thing in 2 hours.
Less than that.
Yeah.
I think it's like driving across St. Louis County. Yeah,
pretty
isn't
much.
It? Not much bigger.
It's a small little place. Go ahead, Scott.
How many people signed the Declaration of Independence?
Who knows?
70. 57.
Oh.
54.
You're really close.
56?
Yes, ding, ding. 56.
I knew I was.
Yeah. Ben Franklin's name's on there, right?
It is.
Yeah. I think he may be the greatest of all Americans.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He wasn't a bad guy.
What was the population of the United States on July 4, 1776?
That's going to be, 13,
less than 5 million.
I was going to say like 3.8 million.
3.8? You got
it? Yeah, 5 million.
5 million? Actually, 2.5.
2.5.
I was closer. Go ahead, Scott.
During World War II,
yes.
Where was the Declaration of Independence stored?
Oh, Fort Knox.
Very good.
That's in one of those goofy shows on like History Channel.
Wow, I did not know that.
Okay.
Go ahead, that's Scott. How you get the secrets of
I'm still winning, am
stolen.
I not? Go ahead, Scott.
I think you're
Scott Jago, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is with us here.
I got
on
a
the
couple
Chris
more
and Amy
questions.
Show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which country declared independence from the United States on July 4th, 1946?
Texas.
No.
California. No.
No. Country. 1946. Mm-hmm. Would that be the Philippines?
Oh. Very good.
Was that the start of the Marcos rune?
I don't know. She was buying shoes. Go ahead.
Two more questions.
Yes.
Okay.
Which president is credited with creating the term founding fathers?
Well, if I had to hazard a guess, I would say John Adams.
No, it was much later.
Then that would have had to have been... Franklin Pierce.
I'm going to say Abraham Lincoln. 47 years ago, our founding.
You got to guess, Matt. No, it's actually Warren G. Harding.
Oh.
Good old Warren G.
Yes, who also had the first federal budget during his administration. First time we had a federal budget.
Is that right?
Warren G. Harding.
Huh. That was probably the last time it was balanced, too, right?
No, it was balanced under Clinton.
Oh, that's right. President Clinton did that. Does the big, beautiful bill balance the budget?
Bush had one balanced. George W. Bush had one balanced budget as well. Go ahead, Scott.
On the last question.
All right.
On the Declaration of Independence,
yes.
Who had the largest signature?
Oh, well.
Well, it would be one of the great, he was the president of the...
Of the what?
United States. Well, he was a president of the Continental
Congress
of the Confederacy. Under the Articles of Confederation, we're talking, of course, about that great American.
The great American with the best name.
John Hancock.
Yeah.
Who?
Well, they said that they have to overcompensate, so they like to make their signatures the biggest.
Well, he wanted
everybody to know I was here.
He was a wanted man. The king.
Was, John Hancock was, very, was wanted?
Yes, he was very just like
yeah, the king.
By the king. But I read about it. He didn't necessarily sign it that big to give the finger to the king necessarily.
Right, right.
There was it was just a kind of circumstance. But,
well,
but,
he was a pretty flamboyant dude.
Sounds like.
In manner of dress and and
did he come up with wearing the white wigs and the powder?
Oh, he had it all. I mean, the he was known for his stockings. He had some of the finest silk stockings in the colonies.
I would think that John Hancock would know a lot about John Hancock.
I actually read a biography of John Hancock written from a pro-British perspective.
Oh yeah,
it was fascinating.
Huh.
They didn't much care for him.
No,
and,
I know.
So I've always heard that he kind of was the writer of it, but wasn't necessarily the one that was.
Oh, he didn't write the Declaration. No. Jefferson wrote the Declaration.
But he was when he was
no.
no with his hand. He hand wrote the stuff.
I don't think so.
That's what I understood. He hand wrote it himself, didn't he? Didn't he write it for the group?
I don't think that's correct.
No,
that's,
Jefferson wrote the Declaration.
Well, he was the author.
Oh, he was the author. Oh, I'm talking about the actual
the penman.
Oh, okay.
The
well,
yeah,
that penman. One I'm. Not
that
sure
I
about.
Don't know. And
I think it was him.
If it was him, I think I would know that. But I could not. We can go to the research department.
We could always ask at AI. They tell us.
Yeah. We can go to the research department on who penned the Declaration of Independence.
The actual calligraphist.
Yes.
That word.
Yeah. That's when they used a lot of Fs back then for Ss.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Congress is Congress.
Do we got a match? We got a
Jefferson largely drafted the document in isolation between June 11th and June 28th.
Yep.
Oh, June 11th. That's my birthday.
I just wonder. He drafted it. So he came up with the words.
Actually,
Jefferson
signed.
Jefferson was in isolation, actually, was physically. Jefferson was the one who was physically writing the majority of it. And then he takes it to Franklin and they start really parsing it.
It was signed by John Hancock on July the 3rd.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Jumped the gun, did you?
Well, I mean, he was, he was in charge. He was the president.
It was Jefferson who either said the second or the third would be the day that would live in American history.
Right.
And it ended up being the fourth.
Yeah. It was Adams.
Adams. Sorry, my apologies.
Adams said that on July 2nd. That's the day they voted.
Right.
And Adams, it was unbelievable. I quoted this in my Three Good Things essay last week.
Yes.
It was crazy what he said. He said, it should be celebrated forevermore with games, shoes, meaning horseshoes, sports, guns, and illuminations.
Wow.
Meaning fireworks.
Wow. Yes.
He nailed it.
He certainly did.
That's what we've done ever since.
Well, it was off by 2 days.
The horseshoes.
Well, he thought it would be July 2nd.
It hasn't kept up with the fireworks and the
Well, you got
We need to bring back the horseshoes.
I love horseshoes.
A lot of horseshoes.
But you
on
got the, what
July
you call
4th.
The cornhole now.
Yeah.
Same
yeah,
basic okay. principle as the horseshoe.
Yeah, but with a horseshoe, you can get close. With a bag, you can't. You got to go in the hole.
You can land on the box. If you land on the box, you get a point. If you go
Do
in
you?
The hole, yes, buddy. When's the last time you played cornhole?
I don't know.
You land on the box with a
beanbag. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. You get points.
Yeah, usually.
Now, you don't
a
get points
social at parties,
for leaning on the box. If your bag leans on the box, you get
no points.
Yeah,
no points.
If your horseshoe's leaning and touching
Are you playing music somewhere this weekend?
No, Monday night I'll be playing.
What are you playing?
Care to tell us where?
Oh, sure. I play at the TikTok Tavern.
Oh, that place is so cool.
It is. It's over in Tower Grove East.
Yeah.
Actually, we're doing a cookout today there.
Oh, nice.
And we're throwing the baseball around, which I haven't done that. I'm a little worried.
Watch the elbow.
I tore my rotator cuff in my left arm, left shoulder rather.
Yeah.
But I'm right-handed, so now I'm probably going to tear the other one.
Yeah, be careful with that, man.
Well, anybody who's out tooling around and looking for bars to go to, TikTok Tavern's kind of a cool special place.
Oh, it's very cool. It's a special place. It is.
60s, 70s vintage? What is it? I don't
it's
know
like
what it
owl,
is.
They have owls everywhere.
Yeah.
But the crowd in there is very diverse and interesting and fun and happy.
Yeah.
It's a happy bar. It's a happy place to go.
There's something about those old St. Louis City bars that just have a feeling. I'm sure it's like that in every city, but something that's not in a strip mall or
it's
out
on
in the middle
it's
of
in
the
a neighborhood.
Grocery store.
It's on a corner in a neighborhood.
I hate to break this up.
Oh,
but will you stick around? Because I want to hear about roaming St. Louis when we come back here on the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
Hey, speaking of local celebrities, we've got Scott Jagow in studio with us. Don't forget, you can hear him all weekend long on KMOX, especially Sunday mornings,
Sunday
where
morning.
You get roaming
St. Louis.
Where are we roaming this week?
Yeah, well, where have we roamed?
Today, at the City Museum, there is a new installation that's opening. It's called The Labyrinth. And it is a maze. It's constructed with all kinds of crazy stuff, like pieces of bridges, Twinkie pans.
Twinkie? What is a Twinkie pan?
You know, when they hostess used to make them in the oven, they would have these pans, these metal pans.
Shaped like a Twinkie.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So they're kind of used as bricks.
Oh.
In fact, the saying around the City Museum is a brick, you know, is something about it. Anything can be a brick if you have enough of them.
Right.
You know, idea of using recycled materials, and it's pretty neat. There's a slide, of course, attached to it because it seems like everything at the City Museum has to have a slide attached. So you can leave the maze going down. Museum.
Oh, really?
You've never been?
I've never been.
Oh, man.
It's quite remarkable.
I've heard it. So it's been there for what, 5-6 years?
It's been there longer than that.
All right.
I don't think that there's another museum in the United States or maybe the world quite like the City Museum. No, yeah, seriously.
It's pretty spectacular, John.
They called it the City Museum because they weren't sure exactly what it was going to be.
Yeah.
So it has, but a lot of the things that are in it come from St. Louis in terms of, or almost everything, or other cities.
Right.
What I mean is materials, like I said, bridges,
planes,
turbochargers. Yeah, there's all kinds of material.
What age of kid would get the biggest kick out of
this? Any.
Really? Yeah, I think you can bring smaller kids and teenagers and adults. There's plenty to do for adults. You know, you can get a beer and there's an arcade. There's lots of stuff to do.
They have EDM concerts now on the rooftop at nighttime with lights.
They have adult. They have the over 21 mixers and stuff like that. Actually, tonight is the fireworks thing,
right,
which is really neat. I've been to it on the roof. You can see 360. You can probably see 100 different fireworks displays all over the region.
Wow.
In Illinois and Missouri.
That would be cool.
So you're just kind of watching them pop up over little like popcorn all over the sky.
Remember One Memorial Drive?
Oh, yeah.
And we had that rooftop thing out there on the third floor.
Look out over to VP Fair.
Straight over the arch.
Right.
That was a place to see fireworks.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
The nice thing about the City Museum, too, John, is that I would say if you haven't been or 3 or 4 years, it doesn't look like it did when you were there 3 or 4 years ago. It's always changing, evolving, and they're always integrating new stuff. And the people who work there, some people may call them strange. They do really cool stuff. Like they said, they look at Twinkie plates and say, hey, let's make a wall out of that. Who comes up with that? Some cool people.
And there's also they have a floor with parts of buildings, and I mean huge facades from I think they're from Chicago, skyscrapers from Chicago
Floor.
Yeah,
we're walking on Chicago skyscraper.
It's pretty neat.
Don't climb through any of their tunnels. They're not made for people
you're
our
get
size.
Stuck.
We would get stuck. But little kids would like it because they've got literally tunnels of concrete tunnels where you can
and
go
slides.
Forever.
You can slides that go like 3 floors down. I mean, it's wild.
Oh, Tula and the grandkids, they'd go nuts in there.
Really?
Yeah, it's worth you park over my office too.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're roaming at the St. Louis City Museum this week.
Yep, that's where I went.
And what is there a theme of three good things this week?
It's undetermined yet.
Okay.
Sometimes I just, it's got to be inspired.
Process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think about it for weeks and then it comes to me, or sometimes I don't have it until Saturday morning. You know, I've got the time to think about it and manufacture it, but the one thing that I do know is that Chat with Stumac is about patriotic movies.
Oh, good. And I watched Independence Day last night. Yeah. It was on ABC last night.
Denzel Washington?
No, it's Will Smith. Oh. And Bill Pullman is the president.
Yeah, that's
who
right.
Who arguably may have given one of the best presidential speeches ever when he starts talking about how the whole world's going to unite and forever going forward, today will be known as our Independence Day. And then, you know, Randy Quaid is all crazy in it.
Yeah, well, he's pretty crazy.
The movie still holds up.
Yeah.
He loves older movies.
Okay.
Of course.
So one that he always, you know, the one that he brings up is some people think it's the most patriotic movie ever. Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, 1939, Jimmy Stewart, famous speech.
Wither the World was the name of the speech.
Is that what it's called?
That's what it's called.
And then there's another one called The Longest Day. from the 60s, which is about D-Day. And I didn't know that one, so I have to watch that one. But he loves it. He said, you know, he said there's a musical theme through it that is really memorable. So we talk about that, and then I would talk, you know, I brought up, you know, my sport was horse racing. So
right.
Seabiscuit to me is a very patriotic movie about the underdog and how Americans
Fred
love
Thompson
stories
was in
like
that, was he not?
Yeah, the senator.
Yeah.
Yeah, he plays a role in it somewhere there.
See, well, maybe he was in the one about Secretariat.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Mm. Seabiscuit's a good movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
Worth seeing. Does Die Hard claim to be a 4th of July movie? I know they say it's a Christmas movie.
No, I don't.
But they are taking out foreign terrorists.
Yeah.
Rocky 4.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, does anybody ever hear the name Jimmy Stewart and not want to impersonate his voice? Like, oh, well, I think we all know that.
That's pretty good.
Let's save you know our country.
That's pretty good.
Very good. You know who's very good at that, too?
Who?
Is Stu.
Oh,
Stu,
I'm sure.
Mac.
Stu's Trump impression is extraordinary.
Really?
Oh, we got to get him.
You got to get him. He's right there.
Is he still working?
He's right there.
He's in shorts just like me.
Should we get him?
Yeah,
let's get him.
Stu!
Come on, Stu. This is live
radio.
This is
Chat with Stu Mac.
This is the only live talk radio happening in St. Louis right now.
Yeah. Just imagine what's happening on NPR.
We got to have your Trump.
We're on the air.
We need to get your Trump. This, ladies and gentlemen, Stuart McMillan as President Donald Trump.
Oh, what did you do? Scotty? Oh,
sorry,
man.
Just
that
a little.
Didn't sound like it.
It's 4th of July. It's taken in good sense.
He's got the hands
The
down.
President is right here in the studio, in the flesh.
You got it.
The most bigly time on KMOX. Best radio station.
When did you start?
There you
in
go
the first
again.
Presidency? Oh, there's President Reagan.
We got all...
We got all the Republican fellas
driving down the Pacific Highway.
Yeah.
Looked at Nancy and I said, "You're very old,
Ron." I want you to listen to me, Ron. You don't even know where you're at.
Oh man,
Donald, love that lady that's talking to the press.
I was awesome. Talking to her daughter, Amy.
Good.
Oh. And she said,
"Carter,
nuclear war yeah. is a big problem, Daddy." All right.
Wow.
That's all we got.
I am flabbergasted.
I am too.
Jacob Sersosimo from KMOV is going to join us next. Talk a little Cardinal baseball right here.
Thanks, Scott.
On the Voice of St. Louis. Sersosimo. Is that how you say that? We're going to all find out together.
Next. Are we doing that when we come back?
You don't need Ollie Marmol to talk Cardinal baseball when you got Hancock and Kelly. Why, John Hancock?
Why? Because we're joined now by Jacob Sersosimo from KMOV Television. Jacob, how are you, my friend? Do we have him?
Fourth. I'm going to try to do my best, but I do argue that Ollie might be better to talk Cardinals baseball.
I don't
than
know,
me.
Buddy. You're pretty darn good. I have to say. So we start this three-game series against the Chicago Cubs. We're 2-2 against the Cubs this year. Hard to believe that just the second time we're seeing these guys. They're leading the Central Division. Cardinals have gone through a very rough patch in Pittsburgh. So let's start there. Let's start with the bats. What do you think is ailing this club? Has been shut out. Their last five losses have all been shutout losses.
Yeah, their last five losses, and especially you look at those losses against NL Central teams. The last two against the Cubs where they really struggled, and then obviously those three against Pittsburgh that they're coming off, they really struggled. June was a really long month for this team. If you look at their schedule, they only had two scheduled off days. They got a few more off days because of rainouts, but then you flip on the other side of that, and the next day, instead of playing one game, you play a doubleheader. You end up playing for, you know, eight hours instead of just three or four that day. So those are some really long days. I think before the month, we knew this was going to be a really, really long month for this Cardinals team, and to add insult to injury towards the end of the month, they literally had injury. Wilson Contreras gets hit in the hand in Pittsburgh. Arenado has that index finger problem. Jordan Walker goes back to the IL for a little bit. So they were banged up at the end of this month, and I just think it was a result of a really long month. Now, if you ask Ollie Marmol, I've asked him a few times about things, and he looks at me every time and goes, "We're professional. We're professionals at what we do, and this is part of the gig. You play baseball every day, and that's what we do. We have to show up and play." But I think if you look at this Cardinals team, for the most part, even with their losses as of recently and not being able to score, I would think they've exceeded expectations for fans so far this season. So a lot of effort goes into that in the first half. And I think right now is just a little slump before they get to that much-needed All-Star break that they're going to get here in a few weeks.
Yeah, and, you know, the club has exceeded expectations, and largely we've gotten answers. This was a season, I think, you enter, you're trying to get some answers about some players. And Nolan Gorman, Alec Burleson, you know, Jordan Walker, which we really don't know what we've got there yet. And Gorman, until recently, really hadn't gotten that much playing time. What do you think the verdict is on Nolan Gorman? Is he part of the core of this team going forward?
He's in a really unique situation because I believe it's got to be really hard for him to not really play that a whole lot and then just come into the lineup sporadically and perform like he has, especially in the second half of June where he's come in and he's played really, really well. But I think Nolan Gorman's, I believe, in a really tough spot because if you look at what the Cardinals have coming up, and I don't want to kind of get ahead of myself here, but the middle infield, I believe the Cardinals of the future, which would be in the next 2-3 years, is going to be Mason Wynn and J.J. Weatherholt. I think J.J. Weatherholt fits in great in that second baseman spot, which would be where Nolan Gorman goes. Now, another piece of Gorman is what they do with Nolan Arenado moving forward.
Right.
He obviously had that trade situation in the offseason. If Arenado leaves, that's also a spot to put Gorman. So it's not necessarily that Gorman can't play, and Gorman seems like the only guy, especially young guy on this roster, that's not getting the runway that everyone else is getting that the front office talked about before this season. Victor Scott's getting the runway. Mason Wynn has had the runway for a year or so now. Burleson, you look at Nootbaar, even if you consider him a young guy. Jordan Walker's getting that runway. Those guys are getting that runway. But Nolan Gorman's in a tough spot because every position that he would play is taken by someone else. I mean, batting-wise, Brendan Donovan was the best second baseman for quite a while this season when it comes to not only his performance on the field and defense, but also in the box batting. And you can't put him at third because you have a 10-time gold glover at third. And to be fair, you're not really going to put him at DH when Ivan Herrera is hitting and healthy like he was early in the season. So he's in a really tough spot. I believe if they want him to be a second baseman, that's a tough road for the Cardinals because of what they do have coming in the future and how well J.J. Weatherholt seems to be adapting to professional baseball in Double-A and Springfield right now. But it really depends on what they want to do at third. I think he's a good player. It just is kind of a numbers game. It's kind of what the Blues are doing right now. It's a numbers game. Where do you put him and what do you do with him?
Yeah, and it's a real problem, and it's a problem in the infield, and it's a problem in the outfield. You look at a guy like Alec Burleson, who really has forced his way into being an everyday player early in the season. He was kind of the odd man out without a real spot, an occasional DH. He'd sub him in as a fourth outfielder. But, I mean, he's part of this lineup, and I think he's part of this team for the long haul. You agree?
I would agree with Alec Burleson, absolutely. I think one thing I really like about Alec Burleson is he seems like he steps in the box, and he's not really focusing, I don't want to say this in a bad way, but like on contact, he just wants to hit the crap out of the ball. And I really appreciate that about Alec Burleson. You know when Alec Burleson's in the box, you're going to get three hard swings. If he strikes out on three pitches, you know he's going to swing hard at the ball. And I think that kind of effort is what Cardinals fans really enjoy and really like to watch. Even if you're losing, they want to see high effort. And that's what they get out of Alec Burleson. The really nice part about Alec Burleson is he can also play first base. So when Wilson Contreras needs a rest or he's struggled by getting hit by pitches and getting hurt this year, he's also a little versatile when you get to put him at first base as well. And obviously Burleson being able to step up when Jordan Walker hasn't been healthy has been huge for this team this year. Burleson's one of those guys where I believe you can put at the DH and he'd be really good there. But then once again, you kind of get into that numbers problem. But with the injuries that Walker has struggled with this season, Alec Burleson has certainly proved that he belongs. I mean, he did last year, but he's doing it again this year.
So now we probably ought to focus on the games that are ahead of us this weekend. We've got Chicago. Starts here shortly. All the game can be heard right here on KMOX. Chicago's a place where a team can get the bats hot again because it's a ballpark you can hit it out of. What do you see as Miles Michaelis goes to the bump today?
Yeah, and we're talking about this team struggling over the last five NL or NL Central games, not being able to score runs. And I don't think this team is immune to hearing that from the outside or knowing that from internally that they've really struggled at the plate. What helps a whole lot is Contreras is in the lineup today, Newt Barbat's right after him, and then Arenado back in the lineup today. These are some injury guys or some guys that haven't been playing well as of great. They get back today. I think that rest yesterday is really big for this team. And sometimes when Miles Michaelis needs to show up, he does. And I think that is what you need from Miles Michaelis today. Sonny Gray has been awesome on the mound the last two outings. He goes out nine innings, complete game, shutout, only one hit on it a couple times ago. And I think when you have your leader out there in the bullpen or out there in your pitching staff leading the way like that, it lifts everybody else's game. And I think Miles Michaelis needs to step up to the plate today. No real pun intended because he's on the other side. But he needs to step up today. And I think there's no better stage, in my opinion, than a 4th of July game, Cardinals-Cubs. All eyes are on you. It's on Apple TV today. And everybody's going to spend their 4th of July here in St. Louis, in the Ozarks, wherever, watching Cardinals-Cubs in the rivalry series, that is.
What do we know about the right-hander, Colin Ray, who's going for the Cubs today? I'm glad it's not a left-hander. They've given us real fits of late. The Cardinals have a shot against this guy.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And you're correct. They've struggled against lefties. And I think when you struggle that much against lefties, especially the two lefties that ended the Chicago Cubs series here in St. Louis a couple weeks ago, and the Cardinals go scoreless and kind of don't play well and don't bat well in those two games. After that game, Ollie Marmol was like, we just struggle against lefties, and those two lefties, you know, shoved against us. They played really, really well. And so I think coming off of what they did in Pittsburgh and coming off of the struggles they've had lately, they deserve a righty, and I'm glad they're getting it. But when you look at their lineup, Newt Barr there, lefty, Burleson lefty, Donovan lefty, Gorman lefty, Scott lefty. You have your fair share of lefty batters that hit well against righties, and they're going to need to do that today. And I think it comes, I don't say this because you kind of said it, but I think it comes at a really, really good time for the Cardinals to face a right-handed pitcher, because boy, do they need it.
Yeah, and I don't know that we appreciate how much we miss Ivan Herrera in this lineup. Very good right-handed bat. And in the short time, you know, last season and this season when he's not been injured, he's a clutch hitter. The kind that, you don't see every day. I mean, you know when the game is on the line, that's the guy you want at the dish. And some players just have that gift.
Yeah, and he has that gift. I mentioned it about Burleson earlier. I think Herrera is the same kind of way, where he gets in the box and you know he's going to take three really, really good cuts at the ball, and he's going to swing hard. He doesn't matter if you're a lefty or a righty. And I think that's kind of been, not to get terribly off topic, but I feel like this is what this team is this year, is they're fearless. And that's what you get in Herrera in the box. That's what you get with Burleson in the box. Mason Wynn at times is like that. Brendan Donovan is like that. What the Cardinals have done this year is a lot of people have written them off early in the season or even before the season. Oh, it might be a reset or whatever the front office wants to call it. Great. We're a young core, and we're going to go out there and we're going to kind of prove to you that we don't care who you are. Everybody's talking about the Cubs. They're number one in the NL Central. They're having a great year. If you look all over the MLB and who's making big waves in the MLB, who else is making big waves other than PCA in the center field for the Chicago Cubs at Wrigley Field? I mean, he had 25 dudes with their names painted on their chest across the outfield last night at Wrigley Field versus the Guardians. So everyone's talking about the Cubs, and I think the Cardinals absolutely love that. Sweet. Talk about the Cubs. Tell me how good the Cubs are. Tell me how good everybody else is. We're going to come in. Tell us how bad we've been. We're going to come in there and prove to you that we're not just going to lay over and let you guys beat us. We're a team to be reckoned with, and we're coming in fearless. And I think this team truly is fearless. But to get back to your original question, that's what Ivan Herrera brings to your lineup. He is fearless in the box, and he doesn't care who you are, what you throw, what team there is. He's going to go out there and try to hit a home run or hit a base hit or whatever he needs to do.
Jacob Sersosimo is our guest, a sports reporter for KMOV and Matrix Midwest. And before we let you go, Jacob, this has been a great interview, by the way. Before we let you go, this series, this weekend, might very well spell the difference between buying and selling at the trade deadline at the end of the month. Cardinals enter this series 5.5 games behind the Cubs. If they get swept, They're 8.5 games behind the Cubs with just a couple of weeks left before the trading deadline. What is your prognostication, crystal ball, say about what the Cardinals do at the end of July?
Yeah, I think you're 100% correct in how important this series is. There's 10 days until the All-Star break. There's 9 games the Cardinals play until the All-Star break. And they're in this slump. We've talked about this slump, but I think what good teams do and what good teams do is they don't let those slumps last. And if the Cardinals slump lasts all the way through the Cubs series, then I think, you know, they're in trouble a little bit. They can't allow their slump they're in. They had a day off yesterday. They can't allow it to carry over into the month of July. And I think right now, if you're the front office, you have to be really paying attention to what they do here. The biggest question is, what really do they do? Because they have a young core that you do want to keep moving forward. You talked about Nolan Gorman being in that young core. Is he in your future? And we talked about this on Randy Carricker's show, actually, that we have on Matrix Midwest a couple weeks ago when the Devers trade happened. Would you trade away your young core for a big player? And that's obvious. I don't think that's what the Cardinals are going to do. However, how much of this young core do you trade away? Because I do think this young core is a really solid young core. Mason Wynn has the potential to be a superstar at short bait or at shortstop. He is your everyday shortstop, and he's one of the best in the league defensively. Absolutely. Victor Scott, once that bat gets going, he is outstanding in the outfield. And then you look at some of their other young guys. So it's going to be really interesting what they do, especially with this Arenado situation. If a team comes and wants Arenado and he pulls his no trade and says, I want to go to one of these teams, but they're in the hunt, what do you do? That question gets even amplified if they're even in the hunt there. So I think it is really, really important what the Cardinals do over these final 9 games. I also think it is important not to jump to conclusions with this team because you never know what they're going to do. And they didn't do anything last offseason. So it wouldn't surprise me if no matter how they do the rest of July, they go, we're happy with our young core. We're happy with what we got. Chaim Bloom's taken over at the end of the year, and we're going to stick with this. So I really think everything's on the table for this team. But you're right. This Cubs series is vitally important for them to get back on track here in July.
Well, let's hope they start with just getting some runs. Boy, we haven't seen those in a while. And then some wins. Jacob Sersosimo from KMOV has been our guest. Thanks so much for joining us, Jacob. Don't forget, folks, you can hear KMOX Baseball right here. Cards versus Cubs. John Rooney and the team all coming to you this afternoon here on KMOX. Happy 4th of July. Hancock and Kelly back after this on KMOX. This is Michael Kelly, and that's John Hancock over there. We're sitting in for Amy and Chris. We got one more hour.
We do.
We're going to take you up the pregame show for the Cant Cards and the Cubs.
What was that, a 120 first pitch this afternoon, I think, in Wrigley Field?
Yeah. When was the last time you started to look at property, like you had to buy a house or something?
Been 20-some years ago.
So I've just been looking around. You know how sometimes you want to see what the market's got in terms of pricing, et cetera.
Getting a little itchy, are you?
What your house may be worth or blah, blah, blah. So I was talking to a friend of mine. I said, what are things going like in this neighborhood? And she said, well, you'd be all right, but, you know, you don't have a bathtub. And I said, exactly. I'm a grown man. I don't have a bathtub in my house. And she said, no, but for resale purposes, bathtubs are very important.
Oh, yeah, you got to have a bathtub.
What in the world is that all about?
It's about
literally,
the
people are making decisions on houses or apartments based on a bathtub?
Well,
who takes a bath?
Well, here's the thing, Michael. Sometimes everybody takes a bath. And the one thing that you know is if there's no bathtub in your home,
there's no kids.
There's no bath.
Right.
You can't take a bath.
No, you take a shower.
Because there's well, yes, but some people prefer to take baths.
I understand, but that when the person brought that up as one of the things that I needed to be considering, most importantly about my house in terms of resale, is that it doesn't have a bathtub. That's some twisted logic to me. Because I've never in my life walked into an apartment or condo and said, please show me the bathtub. I'd like to see what the bathtub
looks. The bathtub is often in the second bathroom, not in the master.
But
bathroom.
Isn't that an obscure thing to want for resale?
A bathtub? Some people have a jacuzzi in their master bathroom.
Or they have a tub that has bubbles in it. Does your tub have bubbles in it?
I do not have a jacuzzi.
Do you go into a shower that has a bathtub, or is it a walk-in shower?
My shower is a walk-in shower.
You don't want to hurt yourself.
All those tub showers, I'm always petrified I'm going to slip and fall.
Well,
so I had it removed from my house.
Bubble thing down.
Now they're telling me.
You got the bubble thing, you know, that little pad there, the rubber thing. It's got the little bubbles. It sticks to the bottom of the bathtub.
Come on, bathtubs.
Keep you from slipping and falling.
And they're for girls, because what guys should be in a bathtub? You're doing but nothing but floating in filth.
Yeah.
It's your own body's water coming
buddy,
out.
I'm not a bath guy. I'm a shower guy.
I just don't understand why I have to care about it for the resale of my
building.
Because
the home buyer wants to have the option of taking a bath.
I think that's what these...
And you're not giving them that option because you're not putting a bath in your place.
I think that's what these real estate agents say to make themselves relevant. I can think of a million other things they would want to say to you, like, hey, you know what? One of the things you may want to consider is a new fresh coat of paint, or have you considered replacing this tile with this color? But to say that you need a tub, that just seems silly to me.
You need a bathtub.
All right.
It's that simple. I mean, you know, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
I can't help you.
Your dog freak out with the fireworks?
No, he's great.
He doesn't bother?
No, they're shooting off the stuff last night over in Chesterfield.
You won the lottery because most people have issues with their dogs, and this is a torturous couple of weeks they're living through.
Now, you show up and cut the grass, and Gus loses his mind.
Yeah, what if
you
I had a
brown... You come and exterminate the bugs, Gus loses his mind.
What if I had a brown cardboard box in my hand? He probably
loses
wanna...
his mind. the dog thinks that everybody that comes to that front door
is
a terrorist.
Oh.
And, I mean, he just loses it. And it's he's being protective. I appreciate that. How was he the other night when you came by?
He was fine. He didn't bark at me until
he remembered
me. But I do know that I was asking my mom, how's your dog doing? She goes, man, I am very fortunate that Lucy does not have trouble with fireworks.
Yeah.
And then she went on to tell me three other people who, you know, this week, they just assume not have a dog than have to deal with what they're dealing with all these idiots out with their fireworks. Do people in your neighborhood blow fireworks
up
all night?
Yeah, they do. They do. My wife
even
used
in
to
Chesterfield,
be one of them.
Huh?
Yeah. My wife at one point in her life had the preferred pyro card from the fireworks stand down in Jefferson County. I'm not making it up. I mean, she was one year. Whew. Almost blew the house up one year. But we're not going to do any fireworks this weekend.
Yeah, no, I'm going to watch them. I watch them on TV. I had no idea the fireworks were last night downtown.
Oh, yeah.
I saw the pictures in the Post-Dispatch this morning were absolutely beautiful. I'll be watching the fireworks on television all over the country tonight.
I guess. I mean, you've seen a fireworks display. You've seen them all.
You can't help but stare at them when you see them.
Well,
I mean, if they're up in the air, you got to look.
Up there.
You know, everybody looks at
them.
There's
only so many things they can do. You know, those squigglies.
Right.
The firework inside the firework, all of that. Hey, when we come back, we're going to visit with Casey Brand. She's a curator of rare books at Wash U on KMOX.